All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Friday, October the 13th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's amazing wherever you are at. I think it's pretty official. We are into the fall. Definitely a little chill in the air. Feels good. Got on my hoodie. I do love a good hoodie. And, yeah, so it is Friday, beautiful day, looking forward to the weekend coming up, great week, have not done a podcast in a while because I don't really know, I've had a lot going on, and then I got a cold, so I've just kind of, I don't know, been bebopping around, but, yeah, I started feeling a little bit crappy on, what's today, Friday, so I started feeling a little crappy on Tuesday, got up on Wednesday, woke up sick, went and paddled 9 miles. I was like, you know, I shouldn't have paddled. Because afterwards I felt good, but actually I really was wrecked because I was very tired and hungry and worn out. But I'm glad that I paddled, but there was a lot of thoughts in my head thinking, don't paddle, right? You are not feeling well. But the problem was is that I have a group of people that are counting on me. Right. These guys, you know, this is their thing. This is our thing. We do it. And we had 6 people in the boat. We had a new guy coming in, and the tech said we were going to take him out for 4 miles, bring him back in, and then the 5 of us were going to go back out and do another run. And I was like, oh, my God. All right. They seem like they're pretty gung-ho on it. So I needed to show up. And when I got there, I'm like, you know, hey, Dave, not feeling so good, so maybe, you know, unless, I hope we're not going to do 15 miles, right? I'm trying to, you know, just preface this, the whole thing with, I don't feel great, and, you know, if we can keep it maybe under 10, that'd be fantastic, and he's like, well, yeah, oh, yeah, we won't go long. I felt a little passive-aggressive in there, like, and that could be just me, because, fuck it, I'm so sensitive, I can't tell, right? I can't tell if it's me or them. Felt a little passive-aggressive, but it's also probably because I'm not feeling well, so everybody's passive-aggressive when I don't feel well. But we did it, right? We jumped in the water, and it was awesome. We ended up doing 9 miles. The guy that was in the boat for the 4 miles ended up staying in the boat, and we banged it out, and it was great. But, yeah, I'm not feeling so sporty now, are you, Tom? No. Actually, I feel better than I sound. Isn't that funny? Colds are weird. I always feel better than I sound. I always sound pretty sick, but inside I feel, you know, not so bad. Yesterday was, I worked yesterday. I don't have COVID, just the old cold. And it's not a surprise because everybody around me has a cold or allergies, right? And, but I worked yesterday. I mean, it wasn't a bad day. At the end of the day, I started feeling a little rough, went home, got a good night's sleep. And I'm ready to take it on today. Still feeling, like I said, it's in the nose. Colds are weird for me, at least. It's like I feel, the one day I can tell it's coming, right? And then you got the next day where you start to have like that runny nose, right? And then you get some sneezing. And then the third day, you're pretty locked up and you're just blowing your nose all day. And then the fourth day, you start feeling better. Well, this is the fourth day. So I'm hoping that I'll start feeling better. I did text my guy this morning. I said, listen, I'm going to pull myself out of the boat for Sunday. First of all, we're supposed to have terrible weather. But that doesn't matter, right? It shouldn't matter because we can still paddle in rain and stuff. But the weather's not supposed to be good. But I just texted him this morning. I said, hey, you know, I don't want to figure it out on Sunday. So I'm just going to tell you now, I'm taking myself out of the boat for the weekend because I don't feel good. And, you know, I don't want to do it on Sunday, right? If you're going to find someone to replace me, yeah, I want to give you enough time. And so he sent me a prayer, and I appreciate it, man. Thank you. It is all prayers are welcome. We'll be right back. Angus Young. I swear to God, as a kid, that was my guy. Angus Young and Eddie Van Halen, it's funny. I'm 55. I grew up in the 80s. You know, as a young person in the 80s, you know, music was such a huge part of my life. If you're from the Hair Nation radio station, the backdrop of my life, right? The 80s music. And if you grew up in the 80s in that time, you probably would agree the music was just so much different. Not that anything is bad with today, right? Today's fine, right? The only thing bad about today is I remember what it was like in the 80s. So that's what makes today, you know, in my mind, different. But the reality is it's all fine. It's all relative. But I think back to the 80s and how, you know, my walls, my bedroom was my Facebook page, right? My bedroom, my shelves, my desk, it was all my place where I could go and escape from my parents, my sanctuary of solitude, right? Or whatever it's called, right? That's my hideout. I'd go to my room, shut my door, turn on the music, and just disappear, right? Into fantasy land, whatever. And, you know, it was, I think about it now, and Angus Young and Eddie Van Halen, when back in my days, you know, it was Hit Parader and Circus Magazine, and every month I would get the new Hit Parader and the new Circus, and I would rifle through it looking for Eddie Van Halen and Angus Young pictures, and I would cut them out and put them all over my walls. And my walls were my Facebook page, man. It was like I could just sit and just kind of look at my walls and, you know, remember and reminisce, right? I mean, obviously not as much detail and not content not constantly changing, but it was perfect for me. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I love doing this podcast. I've shared before, I don't spend a lot of time. I like to try to find cool music. It's fun when I find it or when I pick a song that just I'm going to play. And then when I go back and hear it, it sounds like it was meant for the topic, right? It's kind of strange how, at least for me, you know, everybody has their own thing. But sometimes I'll hear a song, I'm like, wow, never really thought of the song like that until I was talking about that and then heard the song. So it's fun. But sometimes, you know, I will hear a song that I'm like, shit, I got to play that song in a podcast. And that's what happened with that AC/DC song. My wife and I were hanging out on the porch the other night. I was like, you know what I was listening to? It was Warrant Radio. I was listening to Killer Dwarf Radio, which send any hate mail. Killer Dwarves were an 80s band, right? But Killer Dwarves Radio has a lot of that music, and this song came up, and I was like, I got to put that in a podcast. When Angus comes in, oh my God, so awesome. Enough of that, right? Anyway, so what's going on? I'm a little discombobulated. I had, one thing about getting a cold is I just get sort of discombobulated. So I haven't been to a meeting. I literally can't really remember this week at all. I know that there was a meeting on Wednesday I did not go to because I had a cold. And I didn't want to spread the disease, right? On Monday, I can't even remember. Monday, my wife and I went up to Philly to see RFK Jr. announce his presidency as an independent. That was fun. Agree, disagree, this isn't about that. But it was fun because that's one of those things that, you know, it's interesting. It's one of those things that I've always wanted to do, right? It's one of those things that I've always wished I had done, right? Regardless of the outcome, I just, you know, as a person that's been sober a minute, it's at 55. I'm 55 years old, and I look back at my life. For a long time, I would be like, God, I wish I'd have done that. Or I wish I would have shown up for that. Right? And I wasted so much fucking time doing drugs and alcohol that when something like this came up, and I do like RFK Jr., you know, I think he's awesome. I told you, I've shared, you know, he's sober 40 years. They are coming after him now, though. The gloves are off. But, you know, this is what I love. You know, let me see what kind of character you got, man. Let's see, because they, you know, it was always he was going to take votes away from Biden. Well, it's turning out he's ended up probably going to take more votes away from Trump. Well, they don't like that. The Republicans don't like that. So they're coming hard and heavy. So I'm interested to see, you know, the character of this guy. I believe he's going to be amazing. I think he's going to use recovery and all those wonderful tools in our belt to handle these situations. But that's what we did on Monday. We went to Philadelphia and we watched him announce, and it was really, really cool. And I hung out with my wife, and then we got to hang out in Philadelphia. But when we got back, I was burned out. So I did not make it to that meeting. I did not make it to the meeting on Wednesday. And honestly, I'm probably not going to make it to the meeting tonight because I have a cold. I feel fine, but it is, you know, I definitely don't want to give anybody a cold, right? I remember when we couldn't even go to meetings. So I want to be part of the solution. I can skip a meeting this week and we'll jump back into it next week. But doesn't mean there's not like some crazy drama going on in my life. And it's not that crazy. You know, one of the things that's, and I was thinking about this last night, one of the interesting things that happened for me when I got sober, and more importantly, when I started to find serenity, right? When I started to work these steps, when I started to incorporate as the best as I could at the time, and even as best as I can today, incorporating these steps into my life. And, you know, it's like, it's almost like the curtain gets pulled back, you know, a little bit. I've shared about this. I'll probably keep sharing about this because as interesting or as crazy as it is that I've been sober almost 15 years, there are things that are still happening to me, and I'm starting to recognize and starting to like, whoa, right? And one of them was just this whole, like I said, when I found out how self-centered I was in shock, right? But just this whole curtain being pulled back, sort of, revealing, right, my bad behavior, how I handle different things, whether it's in bad or good behavior, but the way I handle things, what is it that comes into my life that makes me create or handle things a certain way? And, you know, for me at least, when I got sober, it's like all I see now are fucking people's flaws and my own, right? I mean, it's like, oh boy, that guy could use a program, right? Oh, that person could use some honesty, right? Oh, that person could use some humility. Oh, that person is so self-centered, right? It's like all of a sudden I became an expert at everybody else's fucking problems and sort of forgot about mine, right? And this is, I guess it's fine, right? I guess it is. I don't know how you can avoid it, right? I don't know how you can't understand or can't recognize this stuff, right? What it says to me is, man, I feel like a lot of people need a program, right? I am blessed and grateful enough that my life went the way it did that allowed me to get a program and find a program and try to work one and incorporate it into my life. If I hadn't drank or used drugs or something, I don't know how I would have been taught this, or how it would have been presented to me in a way that I give a shit, right? Because I didn't, and I don't. But I don't want to drink again, right? And I don't want to be miserable, and I don't want to stare out windows and have a frown. I don't want to be pensive and feel, you know, life is too much, right? I don't want to feel like everybody's against me, right? I don't want to feel like, how come I keep getting screwed? Because that's how my life used to be. I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe that person did that to me. I can't believe the school is doing this to me. It was always everybody else's fault. And that's a fucked up way to live. If you don't realize it at the time, you're just constantly sad, right? You're just constantly bummed. Hold on. You know, you're just constantly, you know, someone's doing you dirty, right? That's how my life was. You know, it was one bad event after another. You know, getting caught, always getting caught, losing something. My parents didn't fuck around either, man. When I've had children, my oldest is 18, my youngest is 11. My children have never been grounded, ever. I hate to admit this. Well, maybe Sam did lose his phone for an hour or something, but the reality is my kids have never lost their phone, right? I want to say they're decent kids, but believe me, there are things that they do. Had they done this during my mother and father's day, they'd have probably been grounded. I was always grounded. It was a thing in the 80s. They love grounding people, right? You're grounded. Shit. I want to fly. Nope, you're grounded. I think I spent my 10th grade the whole summer grounded. Or 11th grade, one of the two. It's probably the most... That was probably my 10th grade summer, or between 10th and 11th grade was probably the most inconvenient summer I've ever had. Because it was hell. I don't remember if I could go out during the week. Or maybe I couldn't go out during the week, maybe on the weekend. I don't remember. The other thing that was weird is we always used to go out. We're out every night. We're out every night. And I guess I just didn't do homework. I don't even know. I can't even remember how that went. But we were out every night. We were always doing something, right? It was great. 80s were great. But I was always grounded. And so, yeah, it's a tough existence. So, you know, and I've said this before, how grateful I am that I'm an alcoholic. I mean, I wish I hadn't had to, you know, go through some of the things, right? But it is important that I went through all of them because it got me to where I'm at. And luckily, this program allows me to go back and try to clean up damage if I had done any, right? And I had. It gives us the opportunity to go back and say, hey, man, I'm sorry. I hope that you can forgive me. Not required. You know, this apology isn't based on your acceptance. This apology is based on having the humility to say, listen, I am an asshole, and I apologize. And it says it right in the book. Some people might not give a shit. Some people might not be as excited about hearing it. That's fine, because it doesn't matter, right? This apology isn't based on your response. This apology is helping us find humility and clean up our past, right? And it's just, you know, what an amazing gift, right? And we get to clean up things and we get to go back. And then we start to recognize, or I started to recognize, my true issue, which is that I'm self-centered and I'm lacking humility, which means all I think about is me and I don't have any God in my life. And that is exactly the person that I was back in those days. I think we're all like that. I mean, I don't feel like 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids are like, praise you, Lord, you know, let the humility be in me today. Remove self, free me from self, Lord. And, you know, nobody's, and if they're doing it, you're probably doing it for the wrong reason, right? You're probably doing it for how you look, right? How do I look to other people when I do this? Do people praise me for my behavior? Probably some self-serving shit, right? I don't know. But most people aren't doing that. And, but as I, you know, as I've gotten older and I did come to the point where obviously I got to where I got and I had to adjust it and I got to use this program, you know, learning that I was self-centered, what I really learned is that we're all that way, you know? And the good thing is it's none of my business, right, about other people. None of my business. You know, if you're self-centered, that's your business. My problem is that as I've gotten sober, it's like I said, it's like the curtain's been pulled back and that's all I see. And sometimes, you know, I don't know when not to talk about it, right? You know, I saw a friend of mine recently. Let me keep this super anonymous. Saw a person, right? Saw another human going through troubles. And it's been one trouble after another. And not all this person's fault. But also not completely clean from it. I don't know, though. See, that's where the problem is because I'm not sure this person can see the role they play, right? But as a person that's sober, right, and that's sort of worked on this, that's all I see, right? That is all I see is the role that the other person, the person, the subject, has played, right? And the reason I see it so clearly is because I was absolutely the same way. And so this person has been involved with other people and that didn't work out, which is a shame, right? I think we've all been through, you know, partnerships that don't work out and it is what it is, right? And then this person was involved with another person, but that person was, you know, not on the up and up and was not honest about their situation. So when this person found out about that situation, of course they had to end this other situation, right? But sometimes we hang out, you know, insanity shows up, right? Doing the same thing over, expecting different results, right? And then so that kind of explodes, right? And then another person comes in, and of course, this guy's a piece of shit too. So, but the point is that, you know, and I'm over there, I'm chatting, right? Trying to keep this anonymous because I really think this is a good person, but it's tough. And this is a good person. What am I saying? This person is a great person, in fact. Unfortunately, just isn't an alcoholic, right? Isn't a drug addict. Doesn't have to work a 12-step program. Is basically, you know, isn't burdened by all that shit. Or is burdened and isn't aware of it, right? And so I'm over there and I'm talking to her and I'm like, hey, you know, and this is, you know, dumb sober Tom, right? Sober serene Tom. I'm like, listen, man, until you figure out the role you played in this, you're never going to heal. That was the wrong thing to say. That was wrong. I mean, it's not the wrong. It's the truth. But I don't think this person was prepared to hear that. Because how can you hear that this is partly your fault when you're putting 100% of your energy and focus into the message that it's everybody else's fault and not yours? Right, because I'm like, you know, and then, first of all, the person got upset, right? There were some tears. I felt bad. I apologized. I don't know what I'm apologizing for. It's absolutely the honest truth. I wish somebody had said this to me a long time ago. I don't know if it had gone in one ear or out the other, but, you know, I feel like somebody needs to tell this person this. They should have told this person this a long time ago. Because it's everybody else's fault, and it isn't. It's partly their fault, right? But, you know, like I've said, like history shows, the reality is if your feet were there, you play a role. And the sooner that we can get our hands around that idea and our brains around that idea, the sooner we can start to move forward. But this person was like, they did this, and they did this, and this one did that. And I'm like, yeah, but you were there, right? You knew. You knew. We talked about this before, and you still go back. In fact, the person knows clearly about this other person and just recently been chatting with this person again. So don't fucking come crying and upset because your world is coming to an end, right? And still do the same stupid things over and over, you know? My message to this person was, listen, you got to start being accountable and figure out what gets you here, right? If our feet are there, we play a role. And the problem is, like, no one really gets that. I get it because it's, you know, I got to stay sober, right? I got to find serenity. I can't live my life today going, that's the person's fault, and it's that person's fault, and it's that person's fault, and none of it is my fault. It is all my fault. Excuse me. It's all my fault. Everything is my fault, at least a little bit. And, you know, my message to this person was, listen, if you don't figure that out, you're just going to be a victim. You're not going to move forward. You can't heal. And you got to heal. You can't stay in this morgue, right? You can't live in this death zone of bad feelings and, you know, unfairness. You got to figure out the part you play. And, yeah, well, that went over like a fart in church, right? So they're upset, and I apologized. And then I'm like in bed, I'm like, what am I apologizing for? What are you saying sorry for, man? You know, it's not like I called this person a bad name or something. I love this person. We've been friends forever. I would do anything for this person. And you know, the other fucked up part is that this person sort of got mad, and like I texted them yesterday, and I'm like, Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry about yesterday. You know, crickets. So this person's mad at me, right? She's going to teach me a lesson and she's not going to text me back, which is fine, right? But you know what's fucked up is that this person's done this to me before. This person has absolutely turned on me. And probably as far as they were concerned, our friendship was over. And I had done nothing, right? I mean, I played a role because my feet were there, but the reason our friendship went astray back in those days was because something else, paranoia and other things, nothing that I had done. But I went back and mended that friendship, and we've been friends ever since. And now this person doesn't like what I had to say, so apparently we are not friends again. at least for today, right? And so when this happens, the doors open, right? And all the things that I want to say and respond, and the fact is I have nothing to say, right? Maybe my message was fine, but I have got to figure out when it's appropriate to share that message, right? When is it appropriate for me to have an opinion, right? Never? Never might be the answer. Never, Tom. You never need to have an opinion. And I like that answer. That's a good answer. But I also know that I've seen people, you know, that do struggle as a victim and don't get better. And, you know, this person was telling me how much they hate their life and their life is terrible. And, you know, there were tears and sadness. And I felt so bad. And I'm like, there is an answer, right? There is a solution. It's just, I don't know if this person has gone down far enough, right, to become available for it, right? Because unfortunately, we got to go down, right? And this person was really upset and hates their life. Their life is terrible. But I'm looking at the life, and I'm like, man, your life's pretty fucking good, right? You don't know how bad life can get, right? You're not homeless, right? You're not riding the bus, right? You got your own vehicle. You got your own house. You live at the beach. Life ain't that bad. The problem is you're inconvenienced. And there is a difference. And so, anyway, yeah, I guess my point is that I have to figure out is when is it appropriate for me to share, right? When do I drop the, you need to become accountable, right? When, if your feet were there, you played a role shit. When does that need to come out? Or when do I need to just keep it tucked away? I'm thinking I might as well just always keep it tucked away, right? And then the other thing that happened this week or last week, which is I think is an important thing to talk about, is that I was sponsoring a guy, and he let me know that he is going to get a new sponsor, and I was like, okay. And I just want to say I think that's always the plan, right? I remember my first temporary sponsor, Ron M, and he said, "Listen, I'll be your temporary sponsor. Thank you, Ron M." Right. I'm going to help you, right? And I remember he was huge, right? I don't know if I'd even be here today if it wasn't for Ron M, because he said, "I'll meet you here tomorrow, 7:30. We drive to Dover. We go to a meeting. It's going to be you and four other guys, and we'll drive back and have another meeting, and we're going to do that every day, and you are going to become a member of this program." And I did it, and it may have saved me, right? But at some point, I needed a different sponsor, right? I started to become part of a program. I started to feel settled in. I started to see different people. I started hearing different people's messages, and I started to like certain things. Not that I didn't like Ron M, but Ron M was my temporary sponsor. And so when I was asked by this awesome guy, right, good friend, right, good guy, if I would be a sponsor, I was like, I think I told him, I'll be your temporary sponsor, whatever I can do. We'll do, and then eventually you'll probably find a sponsor. And I remember when I decided to find my new sponsor and let Ron M. go, I felt like such a burden on my shoulders, right? Because I didn't want to break poor Ron M.'s heart. And because that's how awesome I was, right? This is a guy that is so, I'm so awesome that I thought that if I have to let my temporary sponsor go, he's going to be crushed. So fucked up. And I remember he's like, "Awesome, man. I think he said, "Thank you. Thank you for letting me be your temporary sponsor." And I was like, "Absolutely." And what I say to this guy is, "Thank you. Thank you for letting me be your temporary sponsor." You know, he said something like he listened to something and he felt bad that he had written that to me. And I'm like, "Don't feel bad, man. This is always the game. The point is the goal is you get sober, right? And my job is to try to help in any way. And if my job is to say goodbye and let go and let you move on to a new sponsor, that helps, that's how I do it, right? And because one day someone's going to ask you to be a temporary sponsor, and it's all going to happen, right? And you're going to think, how did my temporary sponsor react, right? It's a gift, man. Service work saves lives. Service work has saved my life for sure. But also, you know, moving on. And so if you have a temporary sponsor and you're trying to get a new sponsor, or you want to find a new sponsor, or you just want to find a sponsor in general, just go for it, right? And if you have to move on, your temporary sponsor should absolutely understand. unless you are like headed towards something bad. And I don't feel like that's what this guy's headed towards. But regardless, one way or the other, I couldn't. It's his journey, right? I can only help when I can help. But I don't feel that way. I think this guy's headed for a lot of recovery, and it's going to be awesome. And the fact is, he doesn't even live down here, right? He lives in another town, and he should have a sponsor that lives near him, right? That's absolutely. So I think it's a lot. I applaud him, man. And, you know, I'm always here if you ever need me. We'll always be friends. And be awesome, right? Be awesome. All right, what do we got here? Let me see. What's the time like? Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Oh, shit. We went long. I'm sorry. I'm going to just read a quick daily reflections, and then we'll get out of here. Sorry. I'm going to try to get back into it, start feeling a little bit better. I feel like I'm sort of in a spin cycle right now. Let's see. Daily. Reflect. What's going on? Daily reflections. Yeah, I'm sure everyone's at some point dealing with a cold. It's just that time of the year. All right, here we go. October 13th. Unremitting inventories. All right. Continues to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, and resentment and fear when these crop up. We ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 84. The immediate admission of wrong thoughts or action is a tough task for most human beings. But for recovering alcoholics like me, it is difficult because of my propensity towards ego, fear, and pride. The freedom of AA program offers me becomes more abundant when, through readmitting inventories of myself, I admit, acknowledge, and accept responsibility for my wrongdoings. It is possible, then, for me to grow into a deeper and better understanding of humility. My willingness to admit when the fault is mine facilitates the progression of my growth and helps me become more understanding and helpful to others. Yep, that's what I just said. Just kidding. But it's the same. I mean, I feel like that's sort of the same thing, you know? It's like, you know, even though, at least in this situation, even though I feel like my message is right, I just don't feel like it was at the right time, right? I just don't feel like it was to the right person who was ready for it, right? And I had to make amends for that. I had to, even though the message was correct, I had to apologize that I even gave it out the message at all, right? And I have to have that humility. I don't want to have a resentment about it, right? Not everybody gets this stuff, right? And not everybody's ready, right? It took me a long time, a lot of pain, and you know, I don't think if you'd have come to me 25 years ago and said, man, you need to be accountable and you need to figure out the role you played, if it had changed anything. I just don't know. I don't think so. I think I still had to just grind through it. And then all of a sudden, one moment, I'm like, hey, you know, wherever your feet are, you played a role in it. And this is about time you start becoming accountable, Tom. I'd be like, oh, okay. I don't know. Hey, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Sorry if I sound like shit. I don't know, but we'll talk later. Bye.